Don't you see that there are times when you didn't know where you should be, no longer in the bush? You mean bush?
Like when before this government takeover, a lot of times you got nothing to go to. You depend on your own work. Hunting, and supposing you didn't get it. A lot of time I got sick on eating. I get upset stomach. Supposing I drank water when I didn't eat. That's all I got. Oh. And then you got to hunt again. Oh, and get miserable. Hard time. And your clothes is frozen and wet. Dry. Oh, and get, when you plow through the snow. You haven't got anything. You run out of blood. After that, and you're still trying to get it.
You mean now you're talking about being alone in the bush?
Well, hunting, not well.
Go with your family.
My family, a bunch of guys together, we all end up. Sometimes we go too far from meat. We figure that meat over there, over there, over there, and in the end we can't make it back. But we managed to make it before we run out too damn much.
And what would you be thinking when you're like that?
Like in case of looking for meat. We figured maybe he's over there. Well, that's what carries us on. We run out of dog feed and everything like that, and still trying. And then when you make it back.
You mean when you give up?
Yeah, well, you give up, you can't go anymore. Dogs get run out fast. Even one night they don't eat, they're really down. And it's bad when a person get that way. But you've got to make it long ways back and you've got nothing.
Would people get cranky?
Oh, yeah.
With each other?
No, I don't know. I don't know. Most the amongst the ones I've been, most times they pray for help.
Pray to God?
Yeah, for help. Because they run down and out and no other way and no help and there's nothing.
In a group, together, yeah. Pray together?
Oh, yeah, every night, like, you know. Most times they get something, all right, just enough to get by. Mm-hmm. Right? But twice I've seen it that bad, but most of the time we always get something. Get some. Oh, it's hell when you've got nothing to eat and you've got to go. It's really no good. I would like to see you in the morning.
How many people would be in a group like that?
Well, sometimes it's 24 dog teams, 30 dog teams.
And they're all in the same hard luck?
All in the same hard luck, because it's not there.
And they're moving together?
Well, they're all hunting together. Like, we'll put up camps and there'll be four or five different branches. Break out hunting different directions. Well, they get to know right away there's nothing in the country. Maybe he went too far up the Peel or went back over to Old Crow or down Yukon or some darn place.
The Caribou.
Well, it's not there. We don't know where.
Right.
It follows it. There's all that, but then. Would
each dog team or two men?
No, no. He's got his own dog team.
Each man would each be alone with his own dog team.
All traveling together.
And what about nights?
Well, they put up their tents and they
each
all...
Each man to his own tent?
No. There'll be about half a dozen guys to a tent. Sometimes more. Sometimes it's three, four tents with that many guys. They're all packed in. Nobody sleep outside. But then it gets so that you run right down to nothing. And it gets so it's hard to get ptarmigan to when it's when you run down like that.
Why?
Well, it just so happened that your luck is not with you. And there's times there when you got a lot of meat, there's all kinds of game around you, you know, all the time. Seems like when you run down and out and you can't get it, everything is hard to get. It's there, all right, but then they get wild some way, you just can't get near them. I seen it that way. I don't know why, but that's the way I seen it. Your luck is not with you. And there's times there you can get it, you know, pretty easy. And when you really need it, it seems like you just can't make it. You might get the odd one, but you can't get as many as you wish to get.
And when you have this kind of hard luck, you still would all go along together?
Oh, yeah. We'd go as far as we'd go. Nobody would break loose.
Yes, yes.
And then we'd all go back the same way.
Nobody would break off by himself?
No, no. Well, he's foolish if he did when he got nothing.
Why?
Well, how is he going to survive? The other guys won't allow him to go.
Oh.
Supposing you had nothing now and you're going to go that way, well, do you think us guys going to let you go?
You wouldn't?
We wouldn't allow you to go.
What would you do?
Well, we'll stop you.
Oh.
Well, either, well, we'll stop you anyway. Well, this is just a matter of custom to the country, amongst the people themselves.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They won't allow them to go. The older guys will, they bawl them out, you know. Up till then, he got nothing anyway, and he's weak now. Well, why should he go all alone?
How would they bawl him out? What would they say?
Well, most times he's related to them, see? And that's another thing, again, you got to listen to the older guy amongst that tribe. Like, if you do something like that, well, they look at you doing a foolish thing. And they give you an understanding and bawl you out that you're not doing the right thing. Why should you go there when there's nothing? Supposing you die around there and all of us get home and you never come back, you cause us that trouble, we all gotta come back. Something like that, see? And then in the end, he don't bother to go. He turns around and go home with him.
How does he feel when he's being bawled out?
Well, I don't know. I never did try to.
Does he feel ashamed?
Well,
does
he should
feel
be. He
angry?
Should be.
Mad?
Well, I don't know how he feels himself. But me, I wouldn't bother to go alone when I know I'm down and out and weak. What's the use to go alone after you get run down when you've got not much power left? That's a foolish thing for me to do. I wouldn't try it. I'd rather stay with a bunch of guys. And most times I try to get home anyway.
Hmm. Well, I'm surprised that they would listen to the older man.
Well,
talking.
That's just the way they were raised amongst themselves, and it's just accustomed to that tribe of people.
But they don't listen now when an older man talks.
No. They're just like talking to wood. I don't understand it. Like an old Indian in Red River, he said one time to me, his children make him mad, you know. And he says, when these children, he says, get in that hostel. The way he put it was, he says, when they go to this sister, he was an RC, you see. And he says, when they come out of there, he says, they're a regular devil, he says. Good for nothing. They can't listen, they can't, they got their own way, he says. He says, that's what they make of them. From what I see, he said. And he adopted them kids and he put them in RC, and when they were quite big, he got them out. And he was pretty old then, you know, middle-aged man. He kicked them out of his house again. He don't want to have anything to do with them. Get back to his own people. He don't want them at all. They're no good to him. All they do is trouble him, cause him trouble. Moses.
Moses who?
Moses Fabian's brother. He died in the hospital last summer, heart attack. That's the man he told me that. He says, when you put them in that place, they make a devil out of him. That's what they make out of him. That's the way he looks at it. So they're good for nothing. None of them stay there long enough to get, you know, after 4 or 5 years, you never see any of them sitting in an office outside of Frankfurt and say, my daughter. There was hundreds of them that were supposed to be into this kind of work, but most of them got nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, and I don't think there'll ever be anything.
Well, I'm just interested in that they used to listen to the old people, and
yeah.
Even in places like that, they would listen.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did the, when they were kids, did the old people ever hit them to make them listen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes, in them days, you...
The old days now.
Yeah, sure. It's not like now. Like, if you do something wrong, when they get after you right away, and they make you understand their way of looking at it. And you can't fool around. And when a father or mother say something, they obey. You know, they make them obey and listen. Right from the time they're small, they make them listen. And when they grow up, they still listen to them, you know.
Would they also listen to an older brother as quickly?
I don't know about that.
I mean, you're talking about
Oh, yeah, sure. I should think so. Because most times, you know, he's the oldest one, and they're all in the family together anyway, not like today, you know. Like I was telling you about a girl, if he's going to marry a man, well, he'd never run around. He comes out of his dad's house the day he's getting married.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's the way they used to be. Oh, yeah, they would listen to their older brother, all right. Oh, yeah. A lot of times they got an older sister, and And they're all in the family raised together when they listen to her too. But she's older than them, see, and she's giving them advice and they turn around and listen to them. There we are. Boy, this cigarette's very good and it's long. Something like that though. I thought it would be kind of a dope, like, you know. Mostly like Philip Morris, it's got different kind of taste to it. And like this Buckingham, that's I think American tobacco too. It kind of is different.
All kinds.
Oh yeah. Oh yes, they listen to the older person, you know. Oh, they're very particular about that. I don't know how they take it if they didn't listen, but most of them, they listen to you. Oh, yeah. They listen to you. Like, you're older one now, you told them something, well, they take that advice, you know.
Well, I guess the little ones, the real little ones still listen.
Oh, yeah.
The real little ones.
Oh, sure.
Kids, sure.
All of them got to listen. They don't fool around, you know.
I mean, nowadays.
Oh, yeah, sure. Like, but then, once you get to become wise enough, well, he's altogether different. I see that most of them, like my children, are the same. They were very, very good when they were up to, say, 15, 16.
Now, do you think that they might get, you use the word wise, do you think that they might get wise quicker nowadays than in the old days?
No. The way I look at it, they become a tramp, sleep in a place, steal, bum their drinks, that's all they're interested in. And they go home and eat what they see, and they should think enough to help the old man or the dad, but I don't know why they can't get out and get to work, but they're sure hungry. And they'll sleep there, and then they'll wash and look at the glass and back, and then they'll run this trail back and forth. The majority of them like that, these young people, my kids and all. Mine is worse, they don't work 5 years. And they're, I don't see how they're going to get wisdom that way.
How they get what?
I can't see how they're going to get brains that way. If they got brains enough to bum their people,
oh.
Well, they got that all right. But why is it they can't get brains enough to get out on their own and work?
Well, maybe they're too restless.
Well, they're sure not restless running that trail. How should they, how could they be restless? If they're willing to run that trail back and forth and go around bumming.
They don't like to sit and do one thing or stand and do one thing all day. That's what I mean by restless. They want excitement.
Yeah.
Did you people have excitement when you were young?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the trail, maybe hunting was excitement.
Well, sure.
Trapping was excitement.
Yeah. That was very, very interesting.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But maybe they haven't got anything like that nowadays.
Well, there's few people got that, but then... Like my family, they drew in a canoe or a kicker or something like that, and they don't work. Like now they should have it, you know, and get out there where there's a lot of it and work, but they just wouldn't get out and work for wages and try to gain that amount of goods in order to get to work on their own. For me, I don't look at it that way. I get a job and I'll buy a kicker and canoe and start off. Get tent and stove like that. That's the way I started. When I left the old man, I left him everything. Had everything I needed, and I was back to Clavick then, and this was in the winter time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And right where I was telling you about where I had my area,
yes.
Well, that's one of the best places in the Delta Torat. Well, I got a funny idea. There was an Eskimo at the time right there, and old Charlie Stewart was there. And anyway, we dropped there. Well, I thought Martha Peel was the best place in the world. So I threw in 40 traps and I got back to Clavick, and second day I was back to Martha Peel. I knew them lakes. Well, my uncle Stephen was there, at camp with him there, and boy, I got back into these lakes that I knew. And I got 40 rats and went to McPherson, got some goods, came back and started and kept going. Pretty soon I had a tent, I had a stove. I got a snowshoe and I bought a rifle, and before, by the time breakup, I had a canoe. And when I started, I went across the McKinsey. And alone, don't worry me. As long as there's work, I work it. And when the water got too high, I remember pulling my canoe across the Mackenzie River and came over to buy a 22 ammunition. Well, I done that and got back and the water started coming. And the thing is, I couldn't skin my rats. I was killing too many and I was alone. So I made a hole, dug out in the ground. And boy, it was good. Very good.
To keep them?
Well, I didn't know that till then. And I found out it froze, so checked it the next day, it was all frozen, so I went after the rats. I never skin rats. I just shoot, you know, she keeps shooting. And I had, the hole was about 6 feet now, 4 feet deep. Chop it out in 2 days, frozen ground, you know. This was before the thaw. And I killed over 2,000 rats, shooting, you know, trapping a little bit. Rats, $1.50 a piece. That's on an average, you know, shot or trap. Well, then I bought a gas boat after I got back to McPherson and bought some nets, got back in the bush, start fishing. I got myself dogs to bog and harness. Then I built a house. And fall came, I took off in the mountains. In no time I had everything I want. Oh yeah.
Were you a rich man?
Well, I had what I needed. I don't say I was rich, and I helped lots of people.
You were single?
Oh yeah, I was single. And I gave a hand to lots of guys. All the way down I got, till I came here. I had canoes, I had two gas boats. I lost two of them in the ice. Not flood the bottom, froze to the bottom, you know. Like in the fall, I didn't put big enough skids on it. The darn thing, the fast water would rush over it, and the ice went away with it, never come up. But I had four canoes anyway, and I came here with that. Now I just got that one. My family ruined everything. Every time they go over, they leave something behind.
You mean that your luck really changed after you came to Inuvik?
Well, no. I started working for wages. I never trapped anymore, never got back across to trap or hunt or anything. I just stayed here working for wages.
And
my family, they ruined my stuff. See, I had tents, stove, and canoes and that. But anyway, somebody's getting away with something all the time, and now I'm down to nothing.
But would you say that when you came to Inuvik, that was the time that your life changed?
Oh, in a way it did.
Or did it start to change in a Klavik already?
No.
You were doing good over in the
When I end up in a Klavik, for instance, I was still acting the same way I acted right up till the time I figured I'd go across and get wages. So I came across alone and look at the boys and that, and oh shit, they were getting $17-$20 a day.
Mm-hmm.
At that time it was $15.50 a day. Oh, well, over there is nothing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I went right back and came back.
Cashed your stuff?
No, I never cashed anything. I just took off. My door was open and everything. Well, put a lock on it, but what's the use? There's somebody to go in right away. Like I told you, if you leave the camp, somebody will ruin it. This is not a lie. So I comes across, got a job. My family come over the airplane. Mike Zutko was then here then, flying back and forth. In fact, he was stationed on this side at the time. This is Mike.
Yes.
Anyway, I started and been over here since. Well, I went back twice, but then in 58, I came back. 59, I was here for good. Started off working, still here. Never did go back trapping or anything. One spring I went up here when there was no rats, and you couldn't find pusher. That winter the snow was very deep in the delta. Didn't get very many rats, and I was walking all the time.
What year was that?
Oh, that's 3 years back.
3 years back.
There was no rats at that.
You weren't working?
No, well, I got laid off.
That year you got laid off?
I was laid off 8 months. So I went up there during ratting time. This was trapping time.
Mm-hmm.
But gee, it was a bad time to go. You can't find the push-ups. Snow was too deep. Get few rats, but very few, and I had 7 dogs, and I couldn't feed them 7 dogs. Yeah, I had a boy with me. Well, we were all right, but the dogs really run down. There was just no rats. There were no rats at all. When the flood came, oh, there was very, very little rats. Must have died off. It happened every 3 years, you know. It'll get thick, and it'll be thick for 3 years, and then at the end of that, it always die off. And it always happened when the river water hits it, that flood. You might make a couple of good hunts and that's that. You never see anything anymore after that. Just nothing, completely nothing. After it flood, you might make a couple of good hunts, but then just when you figure you want to start good, the darn thing's not there. It happens, always happened. About the fourth year it dies
after
off.
After a big flood?
Well, no, after 3 years it always, there's a cycle. It dies off after 3 years.
What has that got to do with the flood, though?
Well, yeah, but you know when it, when the river water hits it?
Yes.
Well, it floods the rats out.
And that's the third year?
Well, no, that's the fourth year then.
That's the fourth year.
Well, that's the time you get there, you start pretty good, but then the next time you go, there's nothing. And you go to any lake after that, there's nothing.
For 3 years?
Well, no, it happened right that spring. That's the fourth year.
All right, the fourth year you've got your flood, and there's it goes down.
Well, for 3 years it's thick.
Right.
And it happened that fourth year, most times.
And then it goes down.
Well, there's nothing.
Nothing.
There's just nothing, completely nothing. You might hunt once and then there's no more.
How long does it take then to build up? That's what I'm asking.
Well, from then on, like maybe your area will have few rats this next spring, but the other areas will have nothing. And they're in patches. That's the way it builds up. One area might be pretty good and the next one is nothing. Like that area I was telling you about was nothing. Isaac Salmon killed a lot of rats across here and other areas.
Mm-hmm.
But then at time, he'll get that strike too, you know. He'll get nothing and maybe I got lots. That's the way it acts. Yes.
And that'll last for some years?
Well, not too long, about 3 years again.
Again,
but there's always rats here and there.
Yes,
Like now, it's really increased again.
Uh-huh.
Well, it'll be thick for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, very thick. And then after that, it comes in cycle, you know. I always, after 3 years, it always die off. Always like that, never fail in this country.
So these would be 3 good years coming for traffic?
Yeah. Oh yeah, real good. You get across the Mackenzie here and you go on that side of the Mackenzie River. You go on the lake, well, the whole damn lake is just black with push-up. Hundreds and hundreds of them, really thick. On this side, it's not too many. Well, next spring it'll be better on this side, and the year after that, see? Like I say, it comes in places, it's real thick. And eventually the whole delta will get like that, you know, but there's places it's slacking again already.
Yes.
That's the way it acts.
The
same with a link in this country. A link will be thick for 1 year, you know, and the son of a gun will just disappear. Just all of a sudden, there's nothing. And they come over by the thousands. I don't know how, it just really get thick, you know. And then when, just all of a sudden, there's nothing.
Do you expect them back, link?
Well, I don't know. Like last 2 years, there was thick for a link in this country. Now this last winter, here, there's nothing.
Mm-hmm.
You see, there they are, for miles around. But 2 years before that, especially the third year there, 3 years back, oh, they were thick, just like ptarmigan tracks. Oh. Yeah.
Do people eat link?
Oh, yeah. Something like rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. But they don't eat foxes, I don't know why. The rabbits too, they die off. Now,
yes.
Now they start coming back too, the rabbits. It's pretty good this year now for rabbits. Maybe next year it'll be more.
People in Inuvik are snaring lots?
No, not very much. My family snared a little bit.
Yeah.
Not very much, but then they don't look at it every day. But the rabbits is pretty thick.
Should you look at the snare line, the snare every day?
Oh yeah, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. Especially if you sit snares all day, you know, and you wait till it gets dark. You visit your snares at night. It comes out in the evening, you know, and you snare a lot of rabbits through the night.
I mean, even a night like now, when this doesn't get dark until midnight?
Right now, you hunt in the springtime, all the rabbits come out at nights. And you go along the bank and you'll see rabbits right on top of the bank as you go. In the springtime in this country, all the rabbits come out at nights.
Oh.
Because it's light all night. Oh, yeah. You go to rabbit country, you know, below Klavik, there are 60 mile down. You get, 100 a day easy. You go down there with a bombardier, you get 600-700 rabbits. And
with snare?
No, shooting.
Oh, shooting. Oh.
You know, the willow patch is not very wide, say 40 feet wide. 40 feet. Mm-hmm. And you go way up to the other end of it, and you put your dog team across, say four dog team, tie them end for end, you know. Well, then you go back way down and you start coming up this brush, and you're driving this rabbit as you come. And you don't go fast about it, you know. And when you come up to that, mm-hmm. to your dogs, you know, oh, there's hundreds of them there. One time we shot 700 rabbits one place.
What would you do with all those in the spring?
Sell them.
Where?
Similar, he buys rabbits for dollar a piece right now. All the time. Dollar a piece.
What did you do with the 700 you people caught?
Oh, that was about five of us. We used them for, this was in the fire.
Could you keep them?
Oh yeah, you can keep them. You can dry them too. And you can dry them as hard as you want to dry them. And if you soak it overnight, it always brings back that same flavor. It never spoils. It lives on willow, you know. It's not like rats or beaver that rot fast. As long as you gut them and clean them and throw them up in smoke, and then dry it, you know, a little bit and put it away, it'll stay like that. And later on, if you want, if you've got nothing and you want it, well, you throw it in water mm-hmm. and soak. Oh, it become good, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We used to hunt them in the spring riding time, and we used to dry it, and we used them again in July. You know, it's just like dry meat, they're all dry. Throw them in the water, and we used to it anyway, we lived that way, but we enjoy it.
Would you dry the whole rabbit?
Oh, yeah.
You wouldn't take it off the bone?
No.
Just the whole rabbit?
Sure.
Hang in the tent?
Bones and all.
Hang
oh,
in the tent.
Make smudge under it. Make a smoke
outside,
under it.
Outside the tent?
You got to have a rack, stage.
In the spring?
Sure.
This season?
Sure. You got to have a place to put it. Make your smoke under it. Well, after you dry it, and then you put it away. It don't spoil. Once it dries, it's dry.
With driftwood?
Oh, yeah. Or willows. Anything makes smoke. Don't hurt it. As long as the smoke goes through it, you know. Well, once it dries, well, then it's all right. You don't have to smoke it and really smoke it up. As long as it's just kind of dries, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then it's all right.
And where would you pack them after they were smoked?
Oh, we'd just throw in a gunny sack and throw it any damn place, wherever we live. And leave it there. And then when we're ready to move, we take everything. And, like, then we start fishing anyway, you know. But then
mm-hmm.
sometimes you want meat, or you got rabbit meat, well, you go and eat that. I found out it don't spoil.
The Indians that I knew in the East said that rabbit has no fat.
Yeah.
And therefore it's no good for working.
Oh, yeah.
If a man has to work, he can't live on rabbits.
Oh, yeah.
Do you agree with that?
No. No. I don't agree with that at all. It haven't got very much fat, sure, but it's still eatable. You wouldn't die from me. As long as you got rabbits, or you can, you get used to, you can work all right.
Did you people make, or your fathers make these coats out of rabbit skin?
Yeah.
Woven like this? Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. No, not that way. The way they do it is they cut it, you know, string it.
Yes.
Well, then they roll it. They roll it and twist it. One strand, you know.
Yes.
They'll start one place on the rabbit and they keep that one strand
until
they get to the end. And, well, then they roll this whole thing, string it, and then roll it again and string it. Well, all they do is just tie a knot as they come. They make your rabbit skin parky, the warmest coat you ever had in the world, the best coat. Oh, yeah, as long as you've got something to cover it. But it shed very fast, but then, you know, most times the ones I see, and I wore lots of time rabbit coat when it's too cold.
Yeah,
my grandmother used to make for me.
I see.
When it's too cold, I go for my rabbit skin coat. Oh, yeah. It's lined anyway, you know.
But with what?
Well, with sheet.
With what?
With sheet.
Sheet?
Sheet. Blanket.
Duffel?
Duffel. Something like duffel. And it's got that khaki over it. But most of us in McPherson, like my partners, they use it the way it is.
Just plain rabbit skin?
Just plain rabbit skin coat.
Men wore it, women wore it?
No, no, just kids.
Just kids wore it.
They make them for their kids. The older people, in like my grandpeople, sure, them days they wear coats and stuff like that.
But in your
them,
day...
Them people, they make it for me. Like us kids, you know. I never seen in my days, say, like my dad's age, wearing rabbit skin coats, you know.
But nowadays, kids wear?
No, they never bother with it. No, nobody make that kind.
No.
The ones that used to make them, they're all died off. Nobody bother with them things. Everything come handy now. Oh, I came across here just like a picnic for me. Everything is press button, you know. You get to work, somebody tell you what to do. They don't drive you around. Oh, it was a picnic for me. 10 hours a day was nothing. I enjoyed it. Every day like that. Till I get hurt. Get hurt pretty bad. 3 times now. One time I was damn near blind.
Was that the first accident you had, the time that you nearly went blind? Was that the first
one? No.
What was the first one?
First one was a knife got into me here.
Well, that's way out in the bush.
That was before I came here.
Yeah.
But over here, the first one I had was that steam boiler. This year, foreman of ours, you know, we had a poor outfit to begin with. You know, these here rubber hoses that they use for this steaming business? Well, they were all split here and there, and they were all blistered, you know, just like a blister on them things when they'd flood with water.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing, he was a very rough foreman. He didn't have this little rubber to cover this pipe, you know, in order for you to hold. Well, whether you got gloves or not, put it up in the stand, pipe is red hot already. And he'd make you stick it on the ground and he'd put this full pressure, 140 pound pressure, right now. And then shoot this gravel backwards, you know, and swirling into your face and everything. That's the way I got caught in the eye. And there was about half a dozen of us, some of us were in the hospital already from getting burnt with this boiling water, the way this guy was running it. One guy had his boots full of boiling water. He stayed in there 3 months. Another guy, there's about 4 or 5 of them in there, and I got caught. I happened to hit a boulder, you know, and it just went mud and all, just flying all over. And I was holding this rubber hose attached to the pipe at the time. But this rubber hose too got too damn hot, and I had no rubber to cover the pipe. Well, I bent this damn pipe when I went with it, when I got hit, you know.
Bent it?
I don't know how. Anyway, this with the rubber hose, I guess, the top part came down a little bit. And there was another guy beside me. I knocked him down when this thing hit me, you know. And he was too close to me. Well, it wasn't very far anyway, about 5 feet apart. You know, these piling holes. And from there, I had a hell of a time to get to the nurse station. And it happened to me over at that Anglican hostel, Pal Drive there.
For the hospital?
Yeah,
you were building the hospital?
No, just Pal Drive there.
For the hospital?
At that time. Well, we didn't know what it was then.
It was going to be the hospital?
I don't know, but anyway, that's where it happened to me. And the nurse was down here, down this road someplace, on this side. You know this old road?
Down to the dock.
Yeah. That's where she was. I had a heck of a time to get there. And I met Adolf. Well, I couldn't make it. I was just zigzagging, you know. Boy, it was bad.
Adolf who?
My foreman. He was foreman for us guys. Well, then I met Mal, that was the next guy to him. You know. They asked me what was wrong. I knew their voices, I couldn't see them. Well, they went over there. Oh, he was rough. Up to then, there's some boys already in the hospital, just from that steaming, boiling water business. Anyway, I never did get compensation. They were going to fix me up and all that. In the end, I got nothing. I wasn't that way too long. And still I worked. I come back to work next day just the same. I knew my job, and me, I was chopping the ends of every paling, you know, and sawing it off, whatever length they wanted. Some 20 feet, some 18, some 22, like that. And I knew it. I was doing it so much, you know. And finally, after 6 days, I started to see a little better, a little better, a little better. Well, then I got the damn ulcers, too.
Ulcers?
Ulcers. I got that.
Did you ever have that before?
No, never had it before. And holy smoke, I'm burning all the time. One morning I got up with that thing and it kept getting worse. And I explained to this foreman, he says, you've got that ulcers, he said. There's hundreds of them had it. He said, lots of white people around, you know. And I met a lot of guys that already had ulcers, and I didn't know it. Well, they said, look, he says, you better start drinking milk. Well, I don't use milk in my life, you know. Anyway, I start drinking milk. Holy smoke, I start throwing it up. I tried it, throw it up. He says, you keep trying it, don't give up. He'll stay down sometime. So I kept doing that. Finally, he told me, stay down.
What kind of powder?
No, this can milk, canned cream. I had a 3 month like that, suffering every day, drinking milk or not. And finally, I went to a clinic. The doctor was in the clinic then. So he gave me a bottle of this milk of magnesia, you know, some kind. He says, take it 5 times a day. And it was a pretty big bottle. He charged me $8 for it. And by God, before I got about that much to the bottom, the damn pain started to go away. So then liquor came, you know. Liquor came then, and I, boys is going in and out of this damn liquor store. And son of a gun, I got in that damn thing. I started drinking. Didn't go very far. That damn pain went away, you know. But boy, when I got up, I really suffered. A darn ulcer, you know. They said, beer is the worst thing you can drink. Okay, I said, I'm going to keep drinking it. Kill me or not, I'm going to quit and I'm going to drink. I spent over, $1,500 and something first month. And by God, I got rid of it before the month was over, you know. Drinking, practically living on it, you know, that first month. And the only time I sleep, I don't drink. Get up, start drinking again.
And then you weren't working?
Well, no, I wasn't working then.
You
were? I was supposed to be under doctor care too, you know, ulcers. I was drinking all the time. I forgot about him too, and by God, I got over it. Then I got back to work. Not just a month and a half. I was all right then, and got back to work. It never did come back. But I understand I had the ulcers, you know. I don't know, but that's the way the white people tell me. The doctor, he never told me that. He just said, you'll be all right with this. This is good for it. He didn't tell me I had the ulcers, but I got it from other guys.
Yes.
Yeah. Boy, it is hell. It's a bad thing to have. But anyway, this here guy, foreman of ours, you know, he was rough with us. And Adolf, he said, he's getting holiday pretty soon. You know, he's a good man all around, this here man. He can do anything. Carpenter, plumbing, drilling, you know. He's good at everything, this here Pete. He's a Swede, you know. But man, he's rough. He like to drive you. You just gotta go. He says, look, he says, once he go, he'll never come back. By God, it happened. And he wanted to come back, but he's too rough with us, see? He says, it's too rough with this man. He says, I'm going to fix it so he's not coming back. And by God, he never did come back.
Who said that?
This foreman, general foreman of ours, Adolf Kozin. He had a lot of say, you know. Well, he started this place, you know. He built up everything. And it worked. This man never came back. Oh, he was rough.
Pete,
cranky too. Himself, he's a crazy worker, working all the time.
Was he an Indian thief?
No, he's a Swedish. He come from Sweden.
And who was the foreman, Adolf or Pete?
Adolf Kozak.
He was the foreman?
Yeah.
And who was Pete?
Well, Pete is the one that's working with us guys, see?
He was just the working man.
He was running the boiler.
I see.
And he had a certain crew.
You were on the crew?
I was on his crew. Well, a lot of us got buggered up. He's not careful, he's too rough, really rough. All rough. after he left, they gave us, you know, these here, they cut out these tops of these tanks, 45-gallon mm-hmm. bottles, and they make holes in them.
Uh-huh.
And then they fix that thing so that it don't throw, well, they open it very slow as they go. But Pete didn't have them things. He didn't have rubber for you to hang on to or anything. And these here rubber hoses all buckled up, old, you know. I don't know where they picked it up from, down the McKenzie someplace. And that thing is dripping all the way, you know, and oh, it burns you. And somebody's burnt every day.
That doesn't happen anymore.
Well, no, since that same summer they ordered new hoses. But Pete still was rough. As soon as you got it up, you know, it's full of blast. They don't go slow at it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's all that gravel and mud and everything. And that water is just backing up, you know. You know how it is when it runs out of the hose. Like if there's a hole in the hose, you know how it's
coming out. Yes.
Something like that.
And the other guys who were burnt, they were also Indian?
Well, they were mixed.
Mixed?
Half breeds and Eskimos and Indians, all mixed.
Ah.
Yeah. He was a rough devil, that guy. One time I hit him. He was a man your size, you know, and kind of stout. And
what happened?
Well, to begin with, he hit me, you know. And I told him, you shouldn't do that. This was in the bar, so I'd let him have it.
Oh, in the bar?
Yeah. And I was close to the wall then, you know. He had five hits. I miss him every time. He's hitting the wall every time, you know. He couldn't hit me. He never did hit me, and I didn't want to get hit from him either. He was a big man, you know.
What got him mad?
Oh, he's very, very cranky. And I kind of bawled him out because he was I'd call him a stupid something. And well, he just hauled off him right now. And I told him what I thought of him, you know, after I got better than that. And we're nothing to him. He's the boss, and he's the boss. And you bolt or not, they don't mean. Oh, just go, he says. That's the way he told me, just go. Well, the other guys, if you're hurt, they'll put you in the car, you know, and take you home and that. But Peter's different.
You were working for a construction company?
Well, DPW.
Not a construction company?
Well, that's all we knew by name, or calling them at the beginning. It was DPW, government.
Yeah.
They started off this piling.
Their own equipment? It was their own equipment?
Well, whatever they got for work through the government. Mostly cutting willows too, you know.
Yeah.
And that damn rigging they had too was hell. They had a rigging there where you got a belt up and your equipment was let out from here and your chainsaw was down below, you know. The ones to cut the willow off, it was down next to the ground. And you had a place to haul it. And this damn thing, you know, is rubbing into you, and a lot of guys got skinned, you know.
A belt.
And this, yeah, a belt that's attached to your waist.
Yes.
And this damn saw they had there, and it was dull. And you're cutting brush with that, and a lot of time it gets stuck, you know, and it throws you. Boy, it was hell. I used it 3 days, me, before I started getting skinned. Most of my partners, they use it one day and they can't use it all day, not even for 10 hours. Oh, it was bad. And at that time, they were short, you know, like they were short of files. And they start out with a whole bunch of files, but, you know, they apparently lose them and that. And we had to cut all this out. All this you see was thick. And I tell you, scrubby wool is just hard. Very thick, frozen stuff.
Mm-hmm. And what year was this?
Well, that was the first 3-4 years that they started off cutting willows.
Were you working on this gang of cutting willows?
Oh, right from 57, right up to 56.
All the months of the year?
55, no, just summertime.
Just summertime.
Summertime, and then they burn it. But we cut out a big enough place for them to. They never bothered yet anyway. They had a place open all the way where their houses is now. But that damn thing they had, that rigging, was hell.
What did they tell you they were going to build here?
The way they told us to build a town, government town. That's all we knew. Government town, it's supposed to be a government town. Well, it is a government town. There's not very many people own their own houses outside of Peffer and Summer and what they call that other guy. Not very many guys own their own house.
And do you think it was worth it coming over to Inuvik and doing this work?
Yeah, for me, I really needed it at the time, because I couldn't get no other way to get around.
And trapping was no good anymore?
No. I ended up going from McClavick to Mother Campbell River just to cut cordwood mm-hmm. in order to feed my kids.
So you really had come...
So then when this thing came, mm-hmm. shit, the way they were talking there, shit, they give you 3 meals a day. All they pay is $1.50 a day for that 3 meal, 50 cents a meal. Well, this is what goes, that come here. So but then once my family got here, well then I feed them out of the stores. Still it's good, it's very, very expensive. You take everything you got as you go, but then that was more than I had when hard time came, after good times. All that big money passed, and now you've got nothing, and there's no jobs. And
how long did you live hard times after the good times passed?
Well, most of the time I wouldn't say it's really down and sick, but then there was times there you get so you can't get anything over there. You can't get a job, you can't go to store, you haven't got the money, you can't trap, the fur is not there.
The good times ended about 1948, 49?
Oh, yeah.
About that?
About that time. And that time too, you know, the rats died off. The worst of it was there was no rats for 3 years there again. Well, when this job came, yeah, there's yeah. no fur in that. And not only that, they put you in an area, you got to stay in this area.
Uh-huh.
Watch how you handle it. All that stuff come out. Well, how are you going to go ahead?
That came after the war?
Well, just a little before E3 come out.
Just a little before E3?
Not very long.
I see.
Registered this year, Delta. So then when this thing came, well, it's something like good times come again.
I see.
So I come over.
You and a lot of other people?
Oh yeah, but a lot of them, you know, back and forth. But that first 2 years there was, well, mostly private people were across here. And since they got back again, and me, I stayed here. Me, I don't give in, you know. If I get a job, I only stay with it. Like I say, if I start cutting cordwood, you know, well, I stay with it. But it happened to me the other day, finally. But on my own, it would never happen. I get fired on the corner. But I, you was telling me she got fired. They should have fired him long ago, because it happened without a guy. So I told that man before I got fired. I said, sooner or later, she's going to get them. Well, it sure happened. Well, it's my fault too. I should never listen to them eventually. Yeah.
Can you tell me the relationship between Abraham Albert and Frederick Albert?
Well, they had one mother.
They had one mother. And who was their father?
Well, Abraham's dad, his name was Thomas Albert.
Abraham's dad was Thomas Albert.
Well, he drowned it. And since this woman got, well, I guess she fell in love with a white fellow. That's where Albert come from, Fred.
That's how Fred came.
Yeah.
What was she? Was she a Lucia?
Lucia from McPherson.
What was her name?
Edith.
Edith what?
Albert.
Before that?
Well, she was Edith Albert when I knew. She was married to Thomas Albert
what
when I
her
knew.
What was her father's name?
I don't know. Never seen him.
But she was a Lucia?
Yeah. McPherson Edith.
McPherson Edith. But you don't know her name before she got married?
No. Well, most likely Edith by church, baptism.
Yeah.
But I don't know his dad's name.
Yeah, that's what I meant. But
I don't know. I don't know at all.
And Thomas Albert was also a Lucia?
Yeah. Christian Indian.
And then she married a white man.
She got in love with a white man. That's where Fred came from.
Oh, she didn't marry him?
No.
Did they keep house together?
No, it's just...
Oh. So she was only married once?
No, she married John Greenland after that, my brother-in-law. The one who was married to Annie first. And she died.
Greenland?
John Greenland. You got him on one of your papers.
Yes, I know the name. Well, she married him.
Yeah. But now she's dead. This Edith, she passed away.
Did she have any children by John Greenland?
One.
Is he still living?
Mm-hmm. Winston Greenland.
And where is he?
In a Clyde, living with his dad.
Fred and Abraham are here.
Yeah.
And Abraham is
Thomas, son.
No, I mean...
Edith.
He's a treaty Indian.
Yeah.
Abraham mm-hmm. is. But Freddie Albert is not a treaty Indian.
No, I think she's treaty Indian too.
You think Fred is treaty Indian?
I think so.
And Abraham also lives here, I understand.
Yeah, he works for Puffers most of the time.
Was he ever married?
No, Gary Wagner. He never been married. He was in the army 3 years, Abraham.
Is that so? The Canadian army?
Mm-hmm. And so was Freddie. Freddie was out 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Freddie, he went overseas. He was in Germany. Germany and England, all through that part of the world. But Albert, I don't think he's been overseas yet. He was in the army 3 years. Yes. The 2 hours is up already, gee, it went fast with me. Gee, I might be talking with you about things I shouldn't say. I should probably just wait till you question me in that. I figure now I've been talking too much of it now.
No.
Maybe about, well, I just think that myself.
I just want to know what you. It's better for you to talk than for me to ask you questions because I can ask you.
But you understand what I mean. What I thought was maybe I should shut up and just wait for you. Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm.
Well, I still figure I don't want to be wrong with you in any way. But...
You can answer me wrong. If I ask you questions, it might not be what you want to talk about.
No, that's what I understand of you for, and I was thinking maybe I was talking too much in between.
No.
You understand what I mean?
Yes.